up the back, I did shower. Like, I don't know why you're so far away from me. I just thought I'd come a little forward. It's just an odd dynamic to be so far back. Good to see you all. Keep your Bible open to that couple of verses that Helen just read out to us. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get stuck in. Father God, we thank you that you're a near God, that you're a speaking God, that you want us to know you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. And we pray now that we would hear you speak, that we would be wonderfully reminded of the gospel we have received and encouraged and excited to walk in a manner that pleases you. We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen. But imagine that your mate served up the best drink ever. They had a reputation around town that they could make the best drink, and so whenever you guys are invited to a party, they got asked to bring the drink. Now, you and your mates, you didn't know the exact mixture. You knew a little bit. You knew the main soft drink that sat behind it and the two juices that would get poured in, and you knew that they added a few dashes of bitters, but there was a secret ingredient they added. And it made all the difference between an average drink and the best drink ever. One day, you're over at your mate's house and you've made yourself a cup of tea. And as you're putting the milk back in the fridge, your mate's in another room. You look and you see there's a sealed container that says, "Do not open." And you're thinking, you've found the secret ingredient. And so you open it, you find another container, you pour some in and you take it home without your mate knowing, and you set about making the best drink ever. You grab the soft drink that you know is the right one, you grab the two juices, you put in a few dashes of bitters, and you add some of this secret ingredient that you've just found, and you drink it. And it's good, but it's not quite the best drink ever. And then your mate calls and says, Did you happen to find a container in my fridge and tamper with it that said, "Do not open"? Now, obviously, you lie. You say, "No, that wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about." Because you don't want them to know you've got their secret ingredient. And your mate says, "Oh, phew. Because you know how I work in an infectious disease lab? I have a container in my fridge of COVID-19 and I thought you might have been exposed." Now, would your anxiety be in overdrive at that point? Or would you be, "Cool, cool, 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 glad it was only a few dashes"? Okay, tonight we're only looking at two verses in the Bible. Many think that these two verses are pivotal, they're central to Colossians. They summarize what's been written before in Colossians, and then they pivot to go into a very urgent warning. And two words help us understand these two verses, the word "received" and the word "walk." Now, Paul reminded the Colossians that they received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are to walk in that same gospel. This week, we have an exhortation from God. Walk in what you have received. Now, next week, we're going to hear a sermon. We're going to look at part of the Bible that warns us against contaminating what we have received. But this week, it's all about remember what you've received and walk in that. This sermon's built around the words "received" and "walk." But before we get to "received," we need a refresher. You see, to understand what we've received, we need to be reminded of what we've looked at in Colossians already. So that's where we're headed tonight. Refresher, received, and walk. Who wrote Colossians? Paul, thank you. I thought someone was going to yell out God. God, absolutely. And God used Paul to deliver the letter of Colossians to Christians gathered in Colossae. Now, if you know the world map, you see the little bootleg of Italy there on the western side, and you come along the Mediterranean Sea and up into the Aegean Sea, and you get to the western coast of what is modern-day Turkey, and you hit a little coastal town called Ephesus. Book of Ephesians was written to them. And then you walk about 150 kilometres east of Ephesus, and you hit Colossae. There's also right next door Laodicea, and if I could fit it on the map, Hierapolis as well. Colossae, Laodicea, Hierapolis, all near each other. This letter of Colossians was originally written to those folk. And we're almost halfway through the letter. And have you noticed that there's been no instruction so far? That there hasn't been any rebuke? There hasn't been any counsel? But the letter's opened wonderfully with thankfulness. Paul thanked God for the Colossians' fruit-bearing, for their faith in Jesus Christ, for their love of God's people, for their hope in God. And then Paul went to ask God to keep giving them more of that stuff. Paul asked God to give the Colossians more bearing fruit, God to increase their knowledge in God, asked God to strengthen them for endurance and patience with joy, and asked God to also increase their thanksgiving. And then, do you remember those awesome verses, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, the supremacy of Jesus. Awesome verses. Jesus is the boss of all creation. In Jesus, the fullness of God dwells. Jesus made the universe. Jesus sustains the universe. Jesus is the head of the church. I am not your senior pastor. Jesus is. And that is awesome. Let me say what you're already thinking. Whew, glad it's not Steve, it's Jesus. Because what Jesus gives us is way more than any pastor, priest, or minister ever could. Jesus brings reconciliation with God. Only Jesus can save. The greatest name in heaven, the greatest name in earth, the greatest name there'll ever be in all the universe. He's the first and the last. He'll always be the same. Jesus, Jesus, he's the greatest name. Have you guys noticed I do break out in a bit of Colin Buchanan? You can be thankful I don't sing it very often. If at all you want to stop me. But I wonder if Colossians 1:15 to 23 was behind that song by Colin. Jesus is the greatest. And then last week, we were reminded how in the Old Testament, Jesus was God's best kept secret. There were hints about Jesus and who he is, and he was coming. There were shadows of Jesus. But now, in the New Testament, we have Jesus. That mystery is now revealed. And so as Christians, we are completely sold out to bring this message of reconciliation with God through Jesus to the entire world, and we are completely sold out to help each other grow more and more and more like Jesus. I am loving Colossians. I hope you are too. And so that was our refresher of where we've got to in Colossians so far. And then that now brings us to the first part of our verse for tonight. Therefore, chapter 2, verse 6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, one of this year's HSC English questions included that picture. Yeah, there's a few students out there, isn't there? Julie Pashkas put that picture together. She's the artist behind it, and students were asked to explain how that picture, actually explain it through expressing creative ideas. Now, the artist, Julie, wrote this in one of the newspaper articles that I read, that she deliberately created a picture that would result in various opened answers. And so I guess a Year 12 student could have wrote about finding Nemo and touching the butt. Or could have written a very dystopian piece about the meaningless of floating through life. And both can receive band sixes. You see, open interpretation works in the modern academic world. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, what we received is not open to interpretation. Verse 6 is not a throwaway line. Verse 6, that word received is technical. You received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's a summary, not simply of everything Paul had written up until verse 6. It was a summary of everything the Colossians had heard from their preachers and teachers. Brothers and sisters, for us, that's the Scriptures, the Bible. What we have received, the infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not stake our lives on the preaching of Steve Kovitz. We don't stake our lives on the preaching of our favourite preacher, whoever that might be. Mine's John Piper. We don't stake our lives on the prince of preachers, Charles Spurgeon. We stake our lives on the infallible Word of God. If you are a Christian, at some point you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Not any interpretation of Jesus, but the Jesus who is described and defined in this infallible Word of God. Next week, we'll work through the rest of chapter 2 and see how some religious people will snuck in and wanted to add to contaminate the faith, contaminate Jesus. Next week, we'll look at how some folk like to add to Jesus, take away from Jesus. They contaminate the gospel. And so a little teaser for next week. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus something equals nothing. Therefore, as you received Jesus, then Paul went on to say this as well. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. So walk in him. Over the last few weeks, we've been reminded that the gospel of Jesus is not an inoculation that we get and forget. The gospel of Jesus is like a seed that is meant to grow and bear fruit. The gospel of Jesus is not an insurance policy that we file away and just pull it out whenever we want to make a claim. No, no, no. Jesus, he's our King and Savior. Our faith must affect our behavior. Just as you received, so walk. What we receive affects us, and we walk in him. Now, just before we get to the walk, note how verse 6, we're told, walk in him. Does that sound bizarre to you? It doesn't say walk with Jesus, it says walk in him. Did you know that there are dozens and dozens and dozens of verses in the New Testament that have that phrase in him or in Jesus or in Christ or in whom? Being in Jesus is such a big deal. Charles Spurgeon did preach this once. There is no joy in this world like union with Christ. The more we can feel it, the happier we are. Our union in Jesus, our being in Christ, our incorporation into Jesus is central to all of our deepest joy. Now, what is the in Jesus? That's a huge question. So my recommendation would be start looking up some of these dozens and dozens of verses and go over them. Being in Jesus means We actually have no eternal God-magnifying good apart from Jesus. Being in Jesus means we're completely sold out for Jesus. Let me read just a few of the verses. I won't run through them all. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, God gave us grace in Christ Jesus before the ages began. In Christ Jesus, you were given grace before the world was created. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In Christ, you were chosen before creation. Romans 8, 38 and 39, I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ, you are loved by God with an inseparable love. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. In Jesus, you've been redeemed, your sins are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Jesus, your sin was put on Jesus, and Jesus' righteousness was put on you. Wow. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you're in Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. Galatians 3:26, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. In Christ Jesus, you are a child of God. No one's singing hallelujah. What's wrong with you? Oh, we're not allowed to sing. Okay, I'll give that to you. All right. This is a big deal. I heard about one of the kids' church classes this morning that were trying to grapple with it, and they just had all of these questions. This is a serious recommendation. Get onto our church's website, go to the Next Gen button, click on the Kids Spot video for this week. There is an awesome Kids Spot on what it is to be in Christ. That was a quick overview of some of the verses, but we are told by God to walk in him, to walk in Jesus. We're now going to shift to, okay, well, what does that walk look like? Look at verse 7 with me. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Now, the faith, that's not your faith in Jesus, not your belief in Jesus. The faith is the gospel, the faith, what's written here in the Bible, which, just as, you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so what does it look like to walk in Christ? Well, to be rooted in Jesus, to be built up in Jesus, to be established in the faith, and to be abounding in thanksgiving. And here's something really interesting. Back in chapter 1, verse 10, Paul used that walking metaphor again. Chapter 1 verse 10, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And then here in chapter 2 verse 6, we hear the walking metaphor again. And back in chapter 1 verse 10, the walking metaphor was qualified by four actions: bearing fruit, increasing in knowledge of God, being strengthened in endurance and patience with joy, and increasing in thanksgiving. And we heard another four qualifications for the walking metaphor in chapter 2, verse 6. Rooted in Jesus, built up in Jesus, established in the faith, and abounding in thanksgiving. There's a ton we could unpack in all of those, but one thing is crystal clear. All of us, we can just see it straight away, can't we? God expects his children to be full, to be abounding, to be increasing in thankfulness. If we were to survey our friends, would they say we are thankful? Do Christians have a reputation of being thankful? Does the Point Community Church have a rep around town of being full of thanksgiving? Do you experience me as a thankful man? We are in Christ, and being in Christ makes us thankful. Brother, sister, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted in him, built up in him, established in his faith, abounding in thankfulness. Can you just see it? Like, if we dig down deep in Jesus, if we build up big in Jesus, if we establish ourselves firm in his faith, we're going to be thankful. But if you add a few splashes, if you water down the faith, if you add to the faith, if you contaminate the faith, your thankfulness will dissolve into pride or despair, into grumpiness, into discontentment. And again, come along next week and we'll look at the dangers of blending the faith, of mixing the faith. We'll look at the dangers of both legalism and liberalism. But this week, God is hitting us with what we have received. We have received the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, which is reconciliation with God. Brother, sister, you are in Christ. And Jesus is not an inoculation. He's not an insurance policy. Becoming a Christian is not the finish line. Becoming a Christian is the starting line. And God expects us to be fruitful, to grow, to mature, to dig down deep, to build up high, to establish firm in the Christian faith so that when contaminations come along, we don't waver. How you and I walk in Jesus really matters. God expects us to walk in a way that pleases him. And the crazy thing is that walking in a way that pleases God not only brings him glory, it brings us much joy. Go home, read the beginning of Colossians again. Persecution, suffering, struggle, toil, hard work brings joy. Digging deep into Jesus, building high into Jesus, establishing in the faith brings thanksgiving. Why? Because we're in Christ Jesus. So, why don't you take a spiritual inventory tonight? If you've got a HSC exam in the morning, I'll let you off tonight. You can do it tomorrow night. How's that? Take a spiritual inventory and then actually share it with your Point group or your D team during the week. And be open and transparent. But do the inventory. Compare all the inputs, the things you put into your life that help you root down deep in Jesus, build up yourself in Jesus, establish yourself firm in the faith, and then compare that to some of the other inputs you give into your life, your hobbies, your social media scrolling, your Netflix watching, the gaming, exercising, sport. and then look over the last month and add up. Add up your prayer time, your Bible devotions, your conversations with other Christians that help you grow more like Christ, your attending church like you are right now, you're attending your point group or your D team, and add up the amount of time that you spend in other activities. I'm not including family or work or school at that point, the other things around that. And then look at that spiritual diet and ask yourself, is that helping me walk in a manner that pleases God? Now, a quick word to finish. This is to anyone feeling beat up as you think about that. Remember, God's expectation is progress, not perfection. God sees us take a couple of steps and fall. God sees us take two steps forward and one step back. And he's not quick to pounce on the falling over and the stumbling. He's actually a good father. He goes, wow, they took a couple of steps. Take the long view. Christian maturity is a lifelong project. And so as you take your spiritual inventory, let's all do this. Don't beat yourself up and think, man, where could I have been if I just would have done this, this, and this over the last 12 months? No, look forward to the next 12 months and get excited about how God is going to grow you as you dig deep into Jesus, build high into Jesus, establish firm in the faith, and you will abound in thanksgiving to God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get walked through some questions. Oh, Father God, we thank you and praise you. You are high and exalted. There is a gospel. You save us. We don't have to save ourselves. And so we pray that you would help us get excited about wanting to walk close with Jesus. Father, please bless us. We want to root ourselves deep in your Son. We want to build up in him. We want to be established in the faith. Oh, Father, help us be a thankful people. We pray this for your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Isaac.